Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Before we get started here, I just wanted to make a couple of comments. I just wanted to introduce to you some friends of Nathan, who came from Creighton College, University, and they're sitting in the middle here, right about third row from the back. Hey, guys. Brian, I don't know if you want to do this right now, but if you want to get some of our, yeah. We also had a friend of PJ and Melanie, Nick, is that right? Did I get that name right? Yeah. Good to have you here, too. And we have a little gift for you guys, and we usually do that at the beginning of the service, but because of the festive processional that we had, I decided to just stick it here in the middle, but I wanted to let you know how much we appreciate your visit and give you this little gift that we give to everyone who comes to bless the Savior for the first time. The symbol on it is so important to us because it has the cross encased with a heart, which reminds us of God's great love, which was so supremely shown to us through the cross of our Lord Jesus. And we often will tell our people, hey, show your friends and say, hey, look, I got mugged at Blessed Savior Lutheran Church. And we hope that and pray that it's a holy mugging by a loving God and his people here at Blessed Savior. So welcome in God's name. If there's others that I have passed up, I think I did. We got one more up front in your right-hand side. Brian? Yeah. She's looking down, so just keep coming this way and I'll tell you to stop. While he's getting that, oh, you got your mug. I'm sorry. Oh, but we're glad you're here too. Okay. Any others here for the first time? Okay. I did want to mention to you before the prayers, of course, we often have Gwen Camp, Paul Chosa. There's so many other people suffering from cancer. Gwen was admitted last night to Barnes for having a seizure. And was looking kind of bleak, but, you know, she has such optimism and such faith that by the time I got there, her eyes were open, and she was conversing with, in one words that didn't always come together in a sentence, but we're just praying that now some treatment will be given to her and that she might recover fully. She is just a wonderful saint. And we continue to pray for her, as we do for Paul, who is also suffering, and so many others that are suffering today. So let me begin. The Lord be with you all on this great Palm Sunday. You know, the first Palm Sunday had to have been a glorious day, a perfect day for a parade. I envision a beautiful spring day, much like today, sun shining, maybe a bit warmer, and the pilgrims beginning to flow into the holy city of Jerusalem for the Passover feast. Possibly a million or more people from all over the Mediterranean area joyfully climbed Mount Zion, singing one of King David's Psalms of Ascent. And one of my favorite Psalms is one that we used, interestingly, quite often in funerals. It's Psalm 121. Now imagine coming up from the valley, either from the Jordan or whichever way they were coming from, and you always went up to Jerusalem. Even if you were north of Jerusalem, you always went up to Jerusalem. So we have this psalm. You imagine coming up to this hill and seeing the glorious temple that was there. And a song begins to be heard amongst the pilgrims, which grows stronger and stronger as they approach the holy city. And you hear, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. What a great psalm. But this particular Palm Sunday was special because the mass of pilgrims had heard Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And boy, did they put on a parade. They took branches from palm trees and went out to meet him as they would a conquering hero, crying out, "Hosanna," which literally means, "Save us, Lord." Hosanna is often thought as a declaration of praise, but it is more than that. It is actually a plea for salvation. In other words, I beg you to save or deliver us. And what you need to know about this is that Jesus accepted this praise, plea for deliverance. "Hosanna," they cried. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Further proof that he accepted these accolades, this acknowledgement of merit for being a king, was the fact that he found a donkey and mounted it in the tradition of a Jewish king. This was to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah, who said, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Humble, yes, but a king nevertheless." Why all this excitement? Why the gathering of a spontaneous parade for him? John reports the reason. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. You have to admit it, raising Lazarus from the dead was a pretty big deal. Not to mention all the other miracles that Jesus had done throughout Israel. If Jesus had the power of life and death, what power on earth could possibly stop him? That's why the people were beside themselves with joy. The long-awaited Messiah had come, or so it appeared. Not everyone agreed with that assessment. There were these unbelievers who did everything they could to destroy his reign. You see, that parade was more than just a show of floats or gigantic balloons running through the holy city. This parade had a destination. Most parades come to an end in the road and the people disperse. They go home. But for Jesus, this Palm Sunday was just the beginning of the display of his glory. It was a parade that had some unexpected stops along the way. The parade took Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was arrested. Even there, he was performing miracles as he healed the soldier's ear that Peter had cut off. He was paraded in the dark of night to stand before trial before Governor Pontius Pilate and listen to false accusations from the Pharisees and scribes who denied Jesus' place as the king of the Jews. Jesus let his miracles throughout his ministry speak for themselves, never offering a defense. But this was all part of God's parade plan. After giving in to the evil desires of the Jewish leaders, the parade of Jesus continued to another mountain called Calvary, where they crucified him and hung in mockery a sign over his head which read, "Jesus, K King of the Jews, in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. And when the Jewish leaders saw it, they were upset again. They wanted it to read, "He claimed that he was the King of the Jews." Now, there's something really important for you to hear today. Everything done to Jesus was true, even when done to mock him. When he was arrested, the Roman soldiers stripped him. They put a robe around him. They stuck a crown of thorns in his head and placed a reed in his bound hands, bowing before him, hailing him as King of the Jews. Nevertheless, he truly was the king, as the centurion confirmed as Jesus died on the cross. Remember another thing. Remember the crowds crying out, "Hosanna, Lord, save us." When Jesus was crucified, again in mockery, those that had him crucified, even the thieves crucified next to him, said, "If you are the King of the Jews, then save yourself and come down from the cross if you can." They didn't realize that he had the power to call 10,000 angels to come and rescue him. But this humble king was doing exactly what was asked of him when they said, "Lord, deliver us. Hosanna, save us." So for all intents and purposes, it looked like Jesus' power had run out. He wasn't able to save himself, but not for reasons that they understood. This is what Jesus said in the second part of his gospel reading for today. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." So Jesus saw his death as his glorification. But that's not all. The glory for Jesus and ultimately for us is found in the truth that his death is redemptive. The cross of Jesus was the means for the world's salvation. And with his dying breath, he declared, "It's finished." And with his death came the forgiveness of sins for the world and also the peace of God. So many people were grieved and thought the parade was over. Jesus' death seemingly destroyed any hope for Israel's salvation, but the parade wasn't finished. After his death, Jesus was placed in a tomb. But on Easter morning, he passed through the entrance of the tomb, fully alive as the stone was rolled away. The king had overcome the greatest of our enemies, never to see death again. This parade came to its climax as the Savior of the world walked through the entrance of the tomb, his arc of triumph. And listen up, folks, that parade hasn't stopped, even to this day. When Jesus ascended into heaven 40 days after his resurrection, he promised us a comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would lead us to our final destination, to the mansions of glory. This promised Holy Spirit not only lives in the church, but he lives in the lives of believers like you and me. He is walking with us through our procession toward glory that must pass through the glory of the cross. We can walk with confidence in this world, with all the evil that is surrounding us, because in Christ we are walking in the same parade toward the cross, which will bring us to Christ our King. We are not just observers in this parade. We are participants, singing the praises of our King who has overcome death and the grave and promises to be with us as we pass through death to life everlasting. You, my friends, are inheritors of God's salvation through faith in the crucified yet living God. Let the world mock us as they mocked Christ. What he says always comes true. And what he promises us will also come true. So let us live in the joy of the parade to the cross, knowing that a glorious climax awaits. So as we ascend to the new Jerusalem in heaven, let this also be our psalm of ascent. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.